without you, they never would have found the lichen." Jamie felt suddenly off balance. Praise from Trumbull was totally unexpected. "And you even made a fuss about some cliff dwelling, didn't you?" Dex continued. "Now that'd make a hell of a tourist attraction. A native Martian village. People would pay a flippin' fortune to see that, let me tell you."
"Not while I live," Jamie said, with all the iron in his soul.
"You can't stop it, Chief," Trumbull said, with just as much steel. "It's inevitable. We come, we see, we conquer."
"Not while I live," Jamie repeated.
Then he added, "Nor in your lifetime, either."
"Oh, no?
How much you want to bet that the next expedition to Mars carries tourists? Only a couple very rich old farts who don't mind spending a few million bucks to prove their machismo, but they'll come."
"Perhaps media reporters," Fuchida muttered.
"And ruin Mars the way the Europeans ruined every place they touched," Jamie said.
"What ruin?" Trumbull countered.
"You wouldn't be going to Mars if your precious Native Americans had their way. You'd still be hunting buffalo and weaving blankets."
Jamie pushed himself to his feet, too furious to trust himself much further.
He pointed a finger at Trumbull like a pistol.
"No one's going to fuck up Mars, Dex. Not you or anyone else. That, I promise you."
Dex grinned lazily.
"How are you going to stop us, Chief?"
Jamie had no answer.
Morning, Sol 8. Jamie stood alone in the ancient city, the hot sun so bright in the clear golden sky that its glare against the alabaster buildings made his eyes hurt. The heat of the sun felt good against his naked skin. The city was abandoned, still, silent, yet as beautiful as the day its builders had finished their work. "Where are the people who made this wonderful place?" Jamie wondered as he walked barefoot through the central plaza. The fluted columns of magnificent temples stood on either side of him. Before him rose a palace, its steps reaching to the sky. "Where have they all gone?" he wondered. Suddenly, the peaceful silence was shattered by the roar of thousands of people who poured into the plaza from all sides, streaming in unending hordes, men and women and children in shorts and t-shirts and baseball caps, pointing cameras and munching burgers and fries and slopping sodas from plastic mugs. He knew some of the people. He saw a beautiful dark-skinned woman in an emerald-green thong bikini stretched out on one of the high temple ledges, sunning herself, alone and aloof from the crowds that jostled him. The noise of hammering and power saws rattled the air. Construction cranes rose into the sky as more and always more people crowded into the ancient, doomed city. A lean, hard-eyed man with a shaved skull was directing everyone, sending people scurrying each time he pointed his outstretched hands.
"You people, go up to the temple there. Take a good look at the artwork on the walls before we tear it down and bring it back home. The rest of you can eat at the new fast-food franchise we're building."
The man looked toward Jamie and seemed to recognize him.
"You can't stay here," he shouted angrily. "What are you doing off your reservation?"
Jamie recognized the man. It was Darryl C. Trumbull. And standing just behind him was his son, Dex, grinning smugly. Jamie's eyes popped open. He was sweating, and his bedsheet was tangled around his legs. Inches above him was the rover's upper bunk, sagging slightly under Dex Trumbull's weight. Across the way, the two women slept. He blinked and rubbed his eyes. He had been dreaming, but he could not remember all of his dreams. Something about hordes of people swarming across the barren face of Mars in loud sports shirts and bathing suits, leaving tons of emptied beer cans and wadded fast-food wrappers across the rust-red landscape. Ooh, a disturbing dream. Its essence retreating into nothingness as Jamie tried to remember its details. Trumbull had been in the dream. And Vijay Shekhtar, wearing a skimpy bikini rather than the expedition-issue coveralls. Jamie shook his head, trying to clear away the remnants of his dream, then slid quietly out of his bottom bunk without disturbing Dex. He stole a glance at the younger man. Trumbull's face was peaceful, relaxed. No bad dreams for him.
Across the narrow aisle, Stacy Dezhurova was turned to the bulkhead, curled slightly with her knees drawn up. Trudy Hall, on the top bunk, lay on her back with a tiny knot of a frown creasing her brows. Jamie felt almost guilty looking at them in their sleep. Soul stealer, he thought. Let them have their dreams to themselves. He took his wrinkled coveralls and padded to the lavatory. By the time he came out, all three of the others were up, sitting on the edges of their bunks, yawning and rubbing the sleep out of their eyes. Jamie went up forward to the cockpit and slid the thermal screen back from the windshield and gasped. The mist. He had forgotten about the mists that sometimes rose from the valley floor. Now, with the sun barely over the eastern horizon, the valley was filled with pearl-gray vapor, undulating slowly in the morning breeze like the soft lapping waves of a gentle sea, like the easy, rhythmic breathing of a world. "Come and see this," he called back to the others. Trumbull was in the lab, but the two women padded barefoot to the cockpit. "Ooh," breathed Trudy Hall. "It's beautiful." Stacy Dezhurova nodded and ran a hand through her lank blonde hair. "Beautiful, all right. But how will we drive through it?" The rising sun burned the mist away, as Jamie recalled it did when he had first seen the canyon. By the time they had breakfasted and started the rover's engines, Dezhurova was no longer worried about driving into fog. "Sun is burning it off faster than we're traveling," she said, driving along the canyon's rim. "There it is," said Jamie, pointing. His outstretched finger nearly bumped the rover's bulbous windshield. "I see it," Dezhurova said. The landslide was still there. Jamie knew it would be. Several thousand million tons of slumped dirt do not disappear over 6 years. But still he felt an inner thrill of relief and excitement that it was still there, like a ramp prepared by the gods for them to ride down to the floor of the canyon. A shadow flickered overhead, and they both looked up. One of the SOAR planes, remotely piloted by Rodriguez back at the base camp, its cameras and radar serving to scout the territory ahead. Jamie punched up the SOAR plane's camera view on the rover's control panel display screen. "The ramp is just the way we left it," he saw. He squinted hard, trying to make out the tracks their vehicles had left the first time. But the tireless winds of Mars had erased them, filled them in with fine, iron-rich dust. "Give me the radar view," Dezhurova ordered. Jamie knew the radar data could tell them about the ground's consistency. They had lost one of the rovers on the first expedition, stuck in an ancient crater filled in with treacherous fine dust that swallowed up half the vehicle like quicksand. "It's still there," he knew, "stuck half in the dust pool. If we could pull it out, we'd have an extra vehicle to work with." Jamie shook his head at the idea. "We're here to study the lichen down at the canyon floor, not to salvage old equipment." "Steady now," Jamie muttered, as Dezhurova nosed the rover over the lip of the canyon rim. Her gaze was riveted straight ahead, down the steeply angled slope, although her eyes flicked every few seconds to the radar display, like a novice pianist glancing back and forth from her music sheet to the keyboard. "Easy does it," Dezhurova whispered, half to herself. Jamie felt the bump as each set of wheels crossed the rim rock. Staring out the windshield, he almost felt as if he were in a diving airplane. Dezhurova was bent over the steering wheel, both hands locked tightly on it. Her knuckles weren't white, Jamie noticed, but her grip on the wheel was far from relaxed. "Will you look at that?" Trumbull's voice sounded excited, almost frightened, from behind Jamie's chair. "Like crash-diving a submarine."
"Rather an unfortunate term, crash-dive," said Trudy Hall.
Jamie glanced over his shoulder at the two of them. Trumbull looked excited, like a kid about to bungee-jump off a high bridge. Hall seemed cool, although she kept licking her lips. After a few tense, silent moments, Dezhurova eased up from her cramped posture and grinned.
"Piece of cake."
All three of the others relaxed. Jamie hadn't realized he'd been holding his breath until he let it out in a big, relieved gust. "The only bad spot we found was that dust-filled crater," he said, as if Dezhurova hadn't gone through this 1,000 times already. "Although there might be other bad patches we just happened to miss," he added.
"That's the stuff," said Trumbull. "Look on the bright side."
Oh, hush, Dex, Hall